Of course, we're more interested in what Christian leaders have to say about this and people like Jones, okay? He has a lot of good information out there about what the globalists are doing, but he's not a Christian. And he's not doing what he's doing for the sake of the kingdom. His, you know, first concern is maintain our political freedoms, which, sorry, that's a waste of time as far as I'm concerned. So I was looking at some Christians had to say about this. And there's a Christian broadcaster, a radio speaker named Brian Fisher. He has a thing called Focal Point, the radio program he does on the web. Of course, people were calling into his show that day. As it was going on, he was talking about it and broadcasting news, and people were calling and asking questions. And one of the things he said while he was talking about this, why these kinds of tragedies happen, he said these kinds of tragedies are happening in the public schools because the schools have rejected and been rejecting everything that has to do with God or Christian morality for 50 years. And of course, the left-wingers don't like that, and some left-wing websites immediately pick that up and start crucifying him for daring to equate the rejection of God and Christian morality in public schools with the rise of mass murder and wickedness in public schools. So they began putting clips of him up on the websites and castigating him. And so I'm going to play this guy's clip to hear exactly what he said. It was in response to something one of the callers actually said. And I got a link here. So if you want to hear the whole show, you can go to his website and look it up. But I'm just going to play this clip here of what all these people are freaking out over. The left-wingers are freaking out over.
Well, where was God? I thought God cared about the little children. God protected the little children. Where was God when all this went down? And here's the bottom line. God is not going to go where he's not wanted. Now, we have spent since 1962, we're 50 years into this now, we have spent 50 years telling God to get lost, telling God we do not want you in our schools. We don't want to pray to you in our schools. We don't want to pray to you before football games. We don't want to pray to you at graduation. We don't want anybody talking about you in a graduation speech. We don't want anybody referring to you. We don't want your word read in our schools. So in 1962, we kicked prayer out of the schools. In 1963, we kicked the word of God out of schools. In 1980, we kicked the Ten Commandments out of schools. We've kicked God out of our public school system. And I think God would say to us, hey, I'll be glad to protect your children, but you got to invite me back into your world first. I'm not going to go where I'm not wanted. I am a gentleman. You know, I think back when I was in elementary school, we had prayer in schools, and we didn't need guns. I'm going to repeat that. Back when we had prayer, the Bible, and the Ten Commandments in schools, we did not need guns. So what I'm going to suggest to you is the ultimate solution here is not the Second Amendment, but the First Amendment that guarantees, protects the free exercise of religion. It's time to get a little bit of that free exercise of religion back into our public schools. And maybe it's time for some school boards and administrators to say, look, we don't care. The lives of our children are just too important to us. We are going to pray in our schools at the beginning of the day. We're going to pray for protection. And I don't care what the Supreme Court says. I don't care what anybody says. Our children are too important to us to leave them vulnerable without asking God for his help and for his protection.
So that was his statement on what was going on and why there's so much chaos in the schools. And, of course, like I said, left-wingers are all up in arms about that and crucifying him. You should read some of the comments on the article. There was an article about him and other websites. And they would quote what he said. Then get down in the comments section. You should see some of the comments. I mean, that poor guy is getting crucified from everybody. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that there's a correlation between taking the Christian ethic and all Christian morality out of schools, taking God the very concept of responsibility for your actions, and all these kinds of, there's a God in heaven, there's consequences for your actions, you're going to have to answer to God someday. You take all that area out, you replace it with a self-obsessed, new age, occult, moral relevancy, plus you're teaching the kids evolution, which means it came from animals, they're no different than animals. Life isn't sacred to them. No life is sacred, not even their own. They're taught they're animals, or raised like animals, or treated like animals in school, so then they go out and act like animals, and people say, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? I mean, it's total, absolute insanity. Okay, so I was also going around looking for other people's opinions, what was going on, and I noticed that later that day, Mike Huckabee, the former governor, he was interviewed. And he said basically the same thing as this Brian Fisher said. He said one of the reasons this is going on because we've taken God out of school. Then I went to some of the apostasy watchers to see what they had to say about it. And I noticed that our old friend, Steve Lumbly, posted an article on his site by this Rick Frua, that we mentioned many times, who was denouncing Mr. Huckabee's statements. Okay, so Mr. Huckabee gets on and says basically the same thing as Brian Fisher. He says that this, you know, a lot of the problem is what's going on in schools. You kick God out, you put Satanism back in there, and now the kids are acting like Satan, so why should you be surprised? And all the left-wingers, the communists, the atheists, the homosexuals, they're going nuts. And here we have Mr. Frua agreeing with all these atheists and communists. He's saying Mr. Huckabee's statements are absurd. Then you have Lumbly posted his article on his site. So apparently Mr. Lumbly and Mr. Frua agree on a lot of issues because Lumbly frequently posts Frua's articles there. The title of this one I'm going to look at a little bit is called Another Embarrassing Voice Heard From. This is the way Mr. Frua starts off this article. He says, as is their wont, the moralistic, patriotic voices rise to the occasion. Instead of having a common sense conversation on gun control, or better yet, a sharing of the importance of eternity, Mike Huckabee pontificates about kicking God out of the schools. Well, if allowing a perfunctory prayer led by many unbelievers passes as allowing God in schools, then I would agree. As one who heard Bible readings as well as prayer in public schools when I was young, it is worthless, if not counterproductive. I remember a very mean third grade teacher reading passages of scripture and leading in a stilted prayer. I hardly think that passes as allowing God in schools. In fact, before we allow him in schools, we might want to invite him back into our churches. So he's saying this whole, you know, the whole thing of what people are saying, including Mike Huckabee, well, when they're saying they're kicking God out of school, what they're all talking about is just basically prayer, worthless prayer, counterproductive scripture reading. You know, unless you're preaching the gospel, then you're not really doing anything productive. And so just scripture reading and doing a little prayer in the morning, that doesn't mean anything. That's counterproductive. It's worthless. It won't stop all this mass murder. That's what he's saying. Now I'm going to let you listen to what Mike Huckabee actually said in an interview. Now we're going to go through this a little bit, what this guy says about what he said.
But ultimately, you can take every gun away in America and somebody will use a bomb. When somebody has an intent to do incredible damage, they're going to find a way to do it. And so, you know, people will want to pass new laws, but unless you change people's hearts, there I'll transition to the maybe to the pastor side. This is a hard issue. It's not something, laws don't change this kind of thing.
You know, invariably people ask after tragedies like this, how could God let this happen?
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. We ask why there's violence in our schools, but we've systematically removed God from our schools. Should we be so surprised that schools would become a place of carnage because we've made it a place where we don't want to talk about eternity, life, what responsibility means, accountability, that we're not just going to have to be accountable to the police if they catch us, but one day we stand before you know, a holy God in judgment. If we don't believe that, then we don't fear that. And so I sometimes, when people say, why did God let it happen? You know, God wasn't armed. He didn't go to the school. But God will be there in the form of a lot of people with hugs and with therapy and a whole lot of ways in which I think he will be involved in the aftermath. Maybe we ought to let him in on the front end and we wouldn't have to call him to show up when it's all said and done and at the back end.
I think that's pretty good. But I want you to notice the difference between what he actually said and what Mr. Frua says he said. Okay, remember what I just quoted here. He says, Mike Huckabee pontificates about kicking God out of schools. If allowing a perfunctory prayer led by unbelievers passes as allowing God in schools, then I would agree. So his idea of having God in schools is just a perfunctory prayer led by unbelievers, okay? See, this is often the case with Mr. Frua in his self-righteous tirades. He intentionally misrepresents the other side, what others are saying on any given subject, to make himself look sharp and spiritual and right. Okay, and that's one of the reasons I like exposing him. One of the things that Scripture says God despises is a Christian who deliberately bears false witness against another brother. God despises that. And Mr. Frua is constantly doing the devil's dirty work for him. He is constantly accusing the brethren falsely of things, and somebody needs to expose this self-righteous liar for what he is. He's constantly bearing false witness against other brethren. In this case, he intentionally misrepresented what Mr. Huckabee actually said in that interview. First of all, you notice that before saying anything about God being expunged from American schools, he said, frankly, if anything's to be done to stop this kind of carnage, it has to start with the hearts of the people. He said, quote, "And so people will want to pass new laws, but unless you change people's hearts, this is a heart issue. Laws don't change this kind of thing." So he's not just saying a perfunctory prayer in school will change it, or the lack of a perfunctory prayer in school was the cause of it. He's saying people's hearts have changed. They've become evil. And if you want to stop the evil, you've got to change your hearts again. Secondly, it's very obvious he's referring to much more than a perfunctory prayer when talking about the fact that God had been kicked out of our public schools. And he said, "Should we be so surprised that schools will become a place of carnage because we've made it a place where we don't want to talk about eternity, life, what responsibility means, accountability, that we're not just going to have to answer, be accountable to the police if they catch us, but one day we stand before a holy God and judgment." Well, that's a lot more than a perfunctory prayer. Huckabee's talking about the fact that for many years, students in public schools were taught a Christian ethic. They weren't just had a little scripture reading the Psalms in the morning and then had a little prayer. All throughout the curriculum, the Christian ethic was embedded in those sessions. They were taught a Christian ethic along with everything else in school. And it's important that people taught a Christian ethic. It's important to maintain a civilized society. Schools knew that at one time. You can't have a civilized society when a Christian ethic, when all morality has been expunged, and every man lives like an animal and just do to others before they get to you. So when these guys talk about the fact that the problem is prayer and Bible reading and God has been taken out of school, they're talking about just what a lot more than just this perfunctory prayer this guy talks about. They're talking about the whole Christian ethic that has been expunged for 50 years out of the school curriculum. Every single form of Christian morality has been mocked, has been denigrated, and replaced with a humanistic, new age type of morality. It's amoral. There's no morals to it. There's no right and wrong. It's amoral, and it's self-obsessed. So everybody's out to get as much as they want, when they want, how they want, and it doesn't matter who they hurt to get it, because there's no moral standard. It doesn't matter if you hurt other people to get what you want. It's an amoral standard. It's an amoral morality, and it's self-obsessed. And it's every man for himself. Everybody's an animal. There's no meaning to life, so you can kill the next-door neighbor for sneakers. It's no big deal. So, he deliberately misrepresents what Huckabee says in order to, you know, give weight to his argument, which is foolishness. Then he goes on to demonstrating, once again, his complete ignorance of American history, as well as the beliefs of the Founding Fathers regarding religious freedom. And his point in this next statement I'm going to quote is that if we allowed Christian prayer and Bible reading back in school, in public school, then we would also have to allow Muslim prayer and to read the Quran back in public schools, because that's what the Constitution requires. And of course, then he says Christian prayers, if we put Christian prayers back in school, they wouldn't be able to mention Jesus and specifically, they had to be deist prayers because all the forefathers were deists. And of course, he didn't even know what deism is or what it meant back then. All right, this is what he says. He says, note, as per the Constitution, the Quran would have to be read as well, and prayers would have to be of the deist variety, lest they stray from the pluralistic construct of those founding fathers. Jesus, who is God, was not allowed anywhere in the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution. That may be a good place to start. I'm not going to go through all that again, but I'm just going to say this. He's not only ignorant of American history, he's also ignorant of what's happening all over the nation right now, in our day. Because right now, Muslim prayers and the public reading of the Quran are being implemented illegally in schools all across this country. And every month, more and more schools are doing it. So, it is happening now. The Constitution does not guarantee equal time for all religious expression in the public schools. And the fact that this guy could make such an assertion reveals that he does not even understand the kind of religious liberty the Founding Fathers were espousing and taught and gave us. I mean, these men clearly distinguish between liberty and license in all areas of public life, including religious public life. The liberty they promoted was a liberty that was constrained by something. It was constrained by virtue. It was constrained by morality. It was constrained by self-control. You don't have to be a born-again Christian to have virtue or have morality or exercise self-control. We don't have to be a born-again nation to be a nation that's not filled with murderous abortion people and perverts and sexual predators. Unsaved people can have virtue. Unsaved people can have morality. Unsaved people can have self-control. That must make a society keeps a society from collapsing. You don't have to all be born again to keep a society collapsing from collapsing, but we all have to have some kind of morality and self-control, or else a society starts to collapse. And this guy's whole idea is, if everybody in the state's not a born-again Christian, they can't call it a Christian state. Or teaching unbelievers in school, little kids, to be moral, to have self-control, to have virtue, teaching them that is useless. It's a waste of time. It's even counterproductive because you're not born again. Who cares if it keeps society together? He thinks if you're not born again, if you're not preaching the gospel in school, then everything else is a waste of time. It's all worthless. Anyway, the liberty today's deluded Americans propagate, this liberty which everybody talks about, which this guy continually says is the same kind of liberty preached by the forefathers, which is a lie, it's a counterfeit liberty, and it's based solely on our right to choose what we want, when we want, how we want, regardless of whether it hurts others or not. That is not the liberty of the forefathers. That's a liberty that has no moral restraints. The liberty espoused by George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin and others could not be used as an excuse to violate the rights of others or engage in criminal activity or undermine American society, make it fall apart, or overthrow the government. There's a limit to liberty. Liberty is based in law. There is no unrestrained liberty. All liberty has to be restrained for the good of the society. That's the difference between their liberty and what we've got today is being proposed as liberty. And that this is the case becomes obvious when you read what Jefferson, particularly Jefferson, and all the founders said about religious liberty. Now, I like to quote Jefferson mostly because Jefferson's the one all these queers and atheists quote because they think he was anti-religious. He was against the whole concept of a Christian state, which he wasn't. I want you to listen to some of the things Jefferson said about religious liberty, the hero of the liberals. He said, "The declaration that religious faith shall be unpunished does not give impunity to criminal acts dictated by religious error." In other words, if you do a criminal act based on the religious error you're in, then you're not going to be covered by religious freedom. You're going to go to jail, just like the guy that's not religious. Religion is not a cloak for crime, all right? And freedom of religion is not a cloak for crime. He also said, "If anything pass in a religious meeting seditiously and contrary to the public peace, let it be punished in the same manner and no otherwise than if it happened in a fair or a market." In other words, if you're going to do things in religious meetings that are seditious, overthrow the country, undermine society, then you're going to go to jail or experience the same kind of punishment that if you did that same thing in a public park or anywhere out in public. You can't use religion to protect yourself in those instances. There is no perfect religious liberty. Religious liberty is governed by certain things. You can't do anything you want and then say, "I'm doing it because it's my religion." He also said, "It is time enough for the rightful purpose of civil government for its officers to interfere in the propagation of religious teachings when principles break out into overt acts against peace and good order." In other words, if your religion causes you to do things against the peace and the good order of the community, of the society, then the government is expected to step in and stop you. You can't murder your neighbor under the guise of religion and get away with it. That's not religious freedom. And the founders never said that religious freedom. But that's what's being described now, especially with Islam. You can rape your wife, beat your wife to death, throw acid on your son or your daughter for defaming Islam. You can murder, rape, and steal, do anything, and try and overthrow the United States Constitution and replace it with Sharia law, all under the guise of religious liberty, because Islam is supposed to be religion, which it's not. But even if it was, that wouldn't protect it. Not in the eyes of the founding fathers. In the eyes of today's deluded morons who've been blinded by God because of their rebellion, yes, it's the same, but it's not the same. Listen to what else Jefferson said. He said, "Whatever is lawful in the Commonwealth or permitted to the subject in an ordinary way cannot be forbidden to him for religious uses, and whatsoever is prejudicial to the Commonwealth in their ordinary uses and therefore prohibited by laws ought not to be permitted to churches in their sacred rites. For instance, it is unlawful in the ordinary course of things or in a private house to murder a child. It should not be permitted in any sect, then, to sacrifice children." In other words, he's saying toleration is at its limits. It's not anything goes. It's not a free-for-all. So the difference between the freedom expressed by the founders, religious freedom, and the freedom espoused by today's people is seen in these statements by Jefferson. The founding fathers of this nation would never have provided protection for people using religious freedom as an excuse to murder, to rape, to overthrow the government, to bring chaos and destruction to society. Yet today's view of liberty provides protection just for that. That's why these Muslims can get away with murdering their own children, murdering their wives, and honor killings are called, or doing all kinds of things that a normal person would not be allowed to do in a normal society. They'd be thrown in jail for it. And that fact alone reveals that today's idea of liberty came straight from the pit of hell. It's a counterfeit. And Jefferson wasn't the only one who was intolerant of harmful and criminal practices done in the name of religious freedom. Samuel Adams, which is a founding father, a leader of the fight against the British colonial rule, is signer of the Declaration. He's a cousin of John Adams. Listen to what he said, and it's called The Rights of the Colonialists. That's a report from 1772. He says, in regard to religion, mutual toleration in the different professions thereof is what all good and candid minds in all ages have ever practiced, and both by precept and example inculcated on mankind. And it is now generally agreed among Christians that this spirit of toleration, in the fullest extent, consistent with the meaning of society, is the chief characteristic mark of the church, insomuch that Mr. Locke, that's John Locke, has asserted and proved beyond the possibility of contradiction that on any solid argument, that such toleration ought to be extended to all whose doctrines are not subversive to society. The only sects which he thinks ought to be, and which by all wise laws are, excluded from such toleration, are those who teach doctrines subversive to the civil government under which they live. All these founding fathers wanted religious freedom, but it was freedom with bounds. That freedom had to be checked and kept in check by morality, okay? And it couldn't go against the civil society. It couldn't overthrow society. It couldn't produce murders. It couldn't overthrow the government, okay? When you read the documents and letters of the people who founded this nation, there's no way to get around the historical fact that all those men viewed religious freedom the same way. In their minds, religious freedom, that is what we call the mutual toleration of different faiths, different professions, that's to be extended to all those doctrines that are not subversive of society or the government, that don't break the law, that don't commit crimes. The only religious sects which are excluded from such toleration are those which teach doctrines that are subversive to the civil government and are criminal. They will now tolerate Islam on this continent for a minute. Anything about the religion of Islam and everything in the teachings of the Quran, they go beyond the limits of toleration that were assigned by the founders of this nation. Okay? When they say religious tolerance, they meant certain things and there are certain boundaries, and Islam and the teachings of Islam and the practices of Islam and the Quran, the holy book of Islam, they all go beyond those limits that they themselves set on freedom. So the Quran would have been banned. The Islamic religion would have been banned by them. We know that with assurance because we know what they taught and we know what they tolerated. And they very clearly said what they wouldn't tolerate. They wouldn't tolerate criminal activity. They wouldn't tolerate something that overthrew the government. They wouldn't tolerate something that destroyed the society. And Islam will do all those things to America. So don't tell me that the founding fathers would permit Islam to rise in this continent. They wouldn't have. I don't know how anyone in their right mind can look at the mountain of historical writings and documents that are available freely on the internet. You don't have to be privy to some kind of private college and get a degree and go. They're on the internet. That the founders regarded religious liberty, how they regarded it, what they said it was, what they said it wasn't, and then walk away and conclude that they would have tolerated gross immorality like pedophilia, which is what Muslims do, or rape or murder, which all are part of Islam. You know, as long as it's done in the name of practicing your religion and religious freedom and tolerance. No way. No sound mind can read what they said and walk away believing such a stupid thing. How can a sane mind read what the founder said about the individual's duty to his country, his patriotism, or his responsibility to behave in a manner that doesn't threaten the order of government or destroy society, and then walk away thinking people have a right to plan the overthrow of our republic by instituting Sharia law, that the founders would have permitted that? It's insanity. I don't understand what makes people think that civil religious freedom gives people the inalienable right to rape children and beat their wives to death and all these kinds of things. Yet, see, that's exactly what today's deluded Americans believe about religious liberty. That's why they can't stop the rise of Islam. And that's precisely the view that Mr. Frew is constantly accusing the founding fathers of espousing. And he's a filthy liar. And he's purposely trying to constantly put today's counterfeit definition back on the founding fathers. He's accusing them. He's an accuser. He goes around accusing everybody of false things. He accuses their brother of doing things. He accuses the founding fathers of teaching things they didn't teach. That's why I said, well, according to the Constitution, if you want to put Christian Bible reading and Christian prayer back, you have to put Islam back in. You have to let them do Islam prayers and read the Quran. No, you don't. That's not what the Constitution says. That's what the founding fathers taught. And they wouldn't teach it today. He's nuts. Well, he goes on now. Next he says, quote, will there ever come a time when we're professing believers quit lifting up the Dagons, you know, Dagons was a foreign god of the Canaanites, quit lifting up the Dagons of morality and nationalism and suggest that they are God? Well, nobody suggested that nationalism or morality, especially morality, this issue here is morality, nobody suggested that morality is God. All these people are saying is when you take morality out of school, when you take the Christian ethic out of school, when you take all references to God, to your responsibility, to sin, to accountability, to judgment out of the school and replace it with an amoral, nebulous, self-obsessed, satanic morality, what do you expect except animals to come out of that school? Yeah, he disagrees with that. I mean, for you to say one of the reasons this happened in school is because they took out God, all Christianity, all Christian morality, replaced with this new age amoral crap. For him, that's you're nuts for saying that. You're just you're a patriotic nut. He says the shooter's mother was somewhat of a doomsayer, but she was also a law-abiding citizen who owned several firearms and who taught her children how to fire them. The shooter was sometimes homeschooled. Don't those kinds of credentials represent those of Mr. Huckabee? So now, so what he's saying here is, in his mind, teaching children Christian morality, teaching them about responsibility and accountability, telling them there's a God in heaven who one day judged their actions, that they're going to be punished eternally for those actions, that could be, that reading the scriptures to them, making them pray at the beginning of the school day, that's all useless in restraining evil in society. As we say, it's all useless. It's all useless in restraining evil in society. Now, it may be useless in making you born again, yes, but that's not the responsibility of schools to make people born again. The responsibility of schools is to teach the American history, the foundation of the nation, its Christian heritage, and make people be able to read and write and function in society. That's the purpose of schooling, okay? Nobody said the purpose of schools to make you born again. That's the purpose of the church and preachers and evangelists. But you need to teach morality and the Christian ethic in the school system, or the society is going to come apart at the seams after about three generations of animals being graduated. This mind has been warped by some kind of crazy religious demon. And every time he puts out an article, it's just weird. He is a satanic individual. All you have to do is look at the statistics of our unsaved. This has nothing to do with right-wing or saved Christians. These are unsaved, God-hating government statistics that they put out every year. It's as plain as the nose of your face that since God and all Christian morality and all things Christian have been removed from the public schools back in the 60s, rape, murder, teen pregnancy, abortion, and all types of violent crime has risen to 300 and 400% among school children. So I ask, what kind of Christian is it who stands up and says that removing God and Christian morality from the schools has nothing to do with the rising crime rate and with all this mass murder? And this guy's supposed to be a pastor? And he's saying the same exact thing God haters say? He's saying the same thing leftists say? Same thing that homosexuals say? That's what they say. There's no correlation between taking God out of school and replacing Christian morality with New Age morality, which is amoral. That has nothing to do with what's happening. Instead, we should just take away the guns. You know, so only the criminals and only the government can have guns, and the criminals and the government are basically the same. This guy is sick. He said, as I said, I grew up in a public school classroom where God was, quote, still allowed in. We listened to the teacher read the Bible, primarily from the Psalms and Proverbs. We bowed our heads and listened to the same stale prayers. And I never heard one single peep about Jesus emanate from the lips of any of my teachers. So that is his idea of God being allowed in the classroom. Now, we already know that's a lie. That's not his idea of God being in the classroom. He stated what his idea was, talking about eternity, talking about life, responsibility, accountability, about God, about judgment. Okay, so once again, he's lying about, you know, this Huckabee. He says, so that is his idea of God being allowed in the classroom. He says, until I was almost 22 years old, I had never heard the phrase born again. Well, that's not the school's purpose, like I said. You don't go to school to be taught to be born again. You go to school to be taught how to read and write and the history of your nation and how to be a citizen. It's the job of the church and evangelists and preachers to preach the gospel to people. He says, what does that tell you? He says, that says that in many people's view, the war is having some symbolic relics practiced in the classroom. In other words, the way the culture war is going to be won is by practicing, you know, this relic, this ritual in the classroom, okay? And nothing could be further from the truth. He said, back in those days, we practiced morality and tradition. No spirit, no presence, no spiritual reality, just dead, dry religion. But people demand a return to those days. Okay, so now he's saying again, it doesn't matter. Since you're not preaching the gospel, don't even preach anything. It's worthless. Teaching kids to be moral, teaching kids to self-denial and every kind of thing in a cultural sense, that's worthless. If you don't teach them to be born again, you're not doing anything. And he says, then he tells Mr. Huckabee, looking through a mirror, that he's a hypocrite. I won't go on there. And his last thing, he says, the horror of Friday was because of sin. The scriptures tell us that wickedness will increase in the last days. Of course, that's true. But why will it increase? Well, there's a reason wickedness will increase in the last days. It doesn't just sort of happen by osmosis. The scripture tells us wickedness will increase in the last days. Of course, the current gun laws are insane. That's twice he mentioned gun laws, okay? In the very beginning, he says, instead of having a common sense conversation on gun control, okay? So he believes there should be more gun control laws. Now, the gun control laws are already on the books. I'm not going to go into this all, but I just want to tell you, in every state, you have gun control laws. The criminal can't get a gun anymore unless you get off the street, of course. Okay, only law-abiding citizens with no criminal record can purchase a gun, have a gun. What's he want? Does he want the confiscation of all guns? He says, of course, the current gun laws are insane, but at the root of it all is sin. Go ahead, blame the godless liberals. Of course, he would never blame the godless liberals for anything. Perhaps this kid was gay. See that? He has to put that in there. He wants to stoke those people who are anti-gay because he's not anti-gay. He thinks anti-gay is anti-Christian. Christians shouldn't be anti-gay. He said that would be an additional target for those on the mountain called hubris. That's hubris means extreme arrogance and self-righteousness. He says perhaps the kid was gay. That would be an additional target for those on the mountain called hubris, located in the land of religious right. God in the schools? How about God in our lives? Collect all the manger scenes, all the plaques inscribed with the Ten Commandments, all the public prayers, all the Christmas pageants, all the Reclaim America gatherings, all the generic genuflex to God, all the concertive talk shows, all the liberal talk shows, and most of what goes on Sunday mornings. Collect it all, and you have little more than some religious tokens with the same power as Santa Claus. But if we shoehorn God back into the classroom, violence would cease. I hold out a hope that some believers are more spiritual than that. So I get the idea of this guy's attitude, right? Prayer, Bible reading, teaching the Christian ethic, teaching, you know, self-control, values, virtues, all these things are worthless. All they mean nothing. Yet when you take them out, society falls apart within 50 years. So what kind of spirit is this guy living by and moving in and listening to? I tell you, it's the spirit of Antichrist. The main reason these massacres are happening is because of what's being taught in school. You also have TV, and you also have video games that glorify violence and that connect violence with pleasure. But you take the totality of what's being taught to children in school, from evolution, which teaches they're all animals, they came from animals, that's all they are, there's no value in life. All the crazy sex are being taught how to have sex, and homosexual sex, and sex with animals, and anything goes. Destroying your soul, that destroys your soul. Evolution destroys your soul. Then all the violence are taught. And this amoral morality where nothing's right, nothing's wrong, only what you want is right. And you can kill or hurt anybody to get what you want. That's what you're taught in school. And that's the main reason these kids are coming out animals. They are animals. They live like animals. And they act like animals. And they have no compunction in shooting somebody for their coat, shooting somebody for their sneakers. They get mad at them, they shoot them. There's no value of human life. Value in human life comes from Christianity and from the Christian ethic, my friends. It's the only place it comes from. So my question is, who's responsible for all these shootings? And now it's not the guns. It's not the government. It's not in your schools. It's the parents' fault. It's the parents' fault because they don't care what goes on in the schools. They send their kids to the slaughter like lambs. They don't go to public schools. They know what they're being taught. They're being taught to live like animals, to be animals, to have sex with anything that moves. They're taught violence. They don't watch violence at school, at home. They don't watch video games that teach them how to kill, that make little child soldiers out of them, just like the people in Africa are making little child soldiers of these kids in Africa. They're doing the same thing to video games. They're raised to be corrupt, immoral, amoral, no conscience, and violent. And the parents are the ones that let this happen. So when you get down to it, it's the parents' fault that this stuff is happening. You can't stop what's going on in school, but you can take a kid out of school, you can homeschool them, you can watch what they watch on TV, you can tell them to no video games, forget video games, period. Doesn't even exist in your life. The parents don't care. The parents are selfish, self-centered. They let the state babysit, they let the TV babysit, they let the school babysit, and they wonder why their kids are being turned into monsters. So that's my answer to the question, how's this happening? Whose fault is this? What's going on? It's the parents' fault. They weren't there when they took God out of school, and they're not there to keep the kids safe from an atheistic, godless, satanic, murderous school system. Amen? I just wanted to give my opinion on that. The last days are evil, but somebody's responsible for all this, people. When you bring a kid into the world, you are responsible for that kid's life until he's of age to make his own choice. And when he's a young baby and a young child, you're responsible for what goes in his brain and what he's fed emotionally and spiritually, mentally, every day. And don't turn around blaming on the state or the school system. It's the parents' fault. All right? Anybody else have anything to share? Or you want to disagree with me? That's fine. I just want to get it off my chest. When I came across that guy's article, he just irritates me. He's one of the most irritating people out there. I can't believe Steve Lumbee's promoting him. It's incredible. All right, anybody else? Okay, well, let's see. Next week, as after Sunday, we're going to be Christmas. So we're going to practice some Christmas carols. We're going to go out Christmas caroling this Christmas Eve. And if we get maybe if we get something together, we'll sing some a couple next week on Pal Talk if we get it together. Well, thanks for coming. Appreciate you coming and listening. And I guess we'll see you next week. God willing, the river don't rise.